time of the year for you guys. You guys have already started your season. If I'm not mistaken, you guys were four games in. Is that right?
Yeah, we actually just wrapped up our fifth game this past weekend. We played the Ohio Raiders, an Akron-based team. We played at Akron St. Vincent St. Mary, LeBron James's high school.
Okay. Yeah, I think everybody around here certainly identifies that as such, right? It's LeBron's high school. So for those who don't know about the Lorain County Nightmares, give us an idea as to who you guys play, what you guys are exactly. Kind of a minor league football team, right?
Correct.
And, you know, how many guys you carry on your roster and really kind of who makes that roster up?
Yep. So the Lorain County Nightmares started in 2012 from a couple guys. One player, Sonny Hazelwood, he went to Baldwin-Wallace, was an All-American there, played at the Senior Bowl, wanted to keep playing football afterwards. Again, saw the niche in Lorain where there's a lot of football product, a lot of talent that could come out. So he started the team, and then he brought on a couple of guys, Vaughn Sprinkle, whose brother plays at Ohio State. He went to Heidelberg University, another Elyria product, and Mitch Talk, who also went to Baldwin-Wallace, another All-American, who he went to Elyria with Sonny. They both went there together. So they started the team in 2012. They've gone to the playoffs every year, championship here and there. So a lot of the guys are local, you know, local talent that, you know, went to school, came back, still want to continue to play football, move on to arena, maybe get some Canadian or overseas looks because football overseas in, you know, Germany, Austria, Sweden are becoming pretty big. So they're looking for talent now that there's not NFL Europe anymore. So we play in the PAFL. It's the Premier Amateur Football League. It's one of the top four or five leagues in the entire country. 16 teams in the league. Based pretty much in the surroundings of Ohio. So we have teams in Indiana, a couple teams in Indiana, Indianapolis, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Columbus, Akron, Cleveland, and Lorain. So it's pretty Ohio-based, but Ohio's a huge football state, so it produces a lot of talent, and there's, you know, good pickings in Ohio. So
oh, no question about it. And I think it's interesting, too, because you and I were talking before, you know, we went on the air, kind of your story as to how you got to where you're at. You're the GM of this team. You pretty much run most facets of it. That's got to be an interesting scenario for you, going from college, and I know you played some with the Gladiators as well, and here you are now playing for the Lorain County Nightmares, but it's different because you're playing, you're also the GM, and boy, it's crazy, too, how in minor league sports at any level, in any sport, you're kind of a jack of all trades.
Yeah, it was at the end of last season, it was brought up to me to the possibility of doing it. You know, I've got a kind of a sales background. I work at a Chevy dealership selling cars now, who's the main sponsor of the team, Sharpneck Chevy. And so when it was over, they said, hey, and I really brought myself to it. It wasn't something that they asked me to do. I said, hey, this is something I really think we could do something with and take to a different level, a level further than it's ever really been taken. Because if you look around, minor league football is kind of on the come up again without without NFL Europe, and even arena teams, you know, starting to dilute a little bit. You know, minor league football has become pretty popular. So when I took it on, I wanted to build a good fan base. You know, make something a community based football program that someone would really be able to come out and look. Because during the summer there isn't football. You know, from now until August or September. I mean, really we're going to watch we're going to watch 100 Indians games. You know, there's no more NBA finals. It's a good time for a supplement for football in Northeast Ohio, where it's extremely popular.
And as the GM, where do you go to find some of the guys that play not only on your team, but on the other teams in this league as well? I think it's interesting that you mentioned that, because there are a lot of guys that get done playing college ball and, look, I mean, there's that funneling effect, right? Everybody wants to play in junior high, then in high school, then in college. And, you know, that funnel just gets narrower and narrower, right? So, I mean, this is another opportunity for these guys to get out there and really kind of extend their playing careers. Where do you guys find yourselves going mostly to find guys to play?
A lot of times you look at local talent, but that was one of the big reasons, and it was kind of going back to one of the questions you asked before, is that, you know, being the GM and how do you deal with both of them? Well, the one thing was is that, you know, I thought to myself, you know, I have played football on a pretty decently high level, so understanding, you know, what it really takes to win, what kind of players you really want to look for. So the biggest thing for me was trying to find players who had actually had some high-level football experience in their life. And it could be whether they want to move on to the next level or they've already been to the next level but they still want to play football. A perfect example is we have a defensive end, outside linebacker. His name's Andre Portis. He went to Marshall University, won a Big Ten, I think it was a MAC championship at the time, Went to the Sioux Falls Storm, which is an arena team. Won two or three championships there, undefeated, broke records as a sack leader and everything. Is originally from California, but lives with his family in Northeast Ohio. So I reached out to him and I said, hey, you know, I got a real, you know, unique opportunity where we could really bring you on. You can make some noise and still get to pop, you know, put on the pads and pop some people. And I've got a pretty energetic personality. I've got a seriously deep love for the game of football. So usually when I end up talking to people, it gets people riled up. And that's exactly what it did with him. So you find some local people, and, you know, I live in Sandusky personally, so I start going out and working out at this gym. Well, it turns out the guy who owns it used to play at Bowling Green, tore his knee, didn't get that opportunity, that funnel effect. You know, he's the cliche story of was a, you know, all-state running back, went to Bowling Green, tore his knee a couple times, couldn't do it anymore, and then it was, hey, I can give you an outlet to still play football at a pretty high level. Get on some film, maybe you might want to do something. And he's taking advantage of it. He's like the leading tackler in our league right now. So
that's a cool story, because it's fun to hear about how guys like that, they run into something along the way and they get a chance to excel in some other form or fashion. Again, we're talking with Jamie Adams. He's the GM of the Lorain County Nightmares. Now, where do you guys play? At Nolden Stadium, is that right?
Yeah, we play at Austin Nolden Stadium, the home of Oberlin College. And that worked out really well, and that's been a good relationship, because the athletic director there, when we first started, we played at Midview High School. And the athletic director at Oberlin College now was the athletic director at Midview High School. So when he moved, it was a good transition to reach out to him. And in Lorain County, there's no nicer stadium than Oberlin College's football stadium. There's just not. North Ridgeville just built a pretty new stadium, and it's a wonderful facility, but it's not a college-level stadium. So that was part of it. That was part of wanting to build something that was a little bit bigger than what it was. You know, most of these teams play on a high school field, mainly because they're available. A lot of high schools now are going to turf, so it's not like we're ripping up anybody's grass or anything like that. But it was, okay, how can I set this team apart from every other team that's in our league? And one of the big ways was, well, I can play on a college stadium, in a college stadium rather than a high school field. And all the teams that have come there have been, you know, pretty blown away. Our players are blown away because they're not used to it. They're used to their high schools. They're used to, you know, if they've played minor league football, they're used to the other high schools that they've played on. They're not used to playing in some brand new college facility. So it creates a really good atmosphere. I mean, who doesn't want to play football in a nice field?
Well, right, and I think for some of those guys as well, you get a chance to rediscover that college atmosphere, right? I mean, because you kind of feel right. Like you're playing college football again, and I think really and truly the atmosphere goes so far as a player, does it not? I mean, you run out of the tunnel, you kind of see some of the same things, and you feel some of the same things.
Right, so that was a big part of who I recruited and why I recruited them, is I wanted the guys who have played in the college, you know, in a college arena, if you will, because they understand the brotherhood that comes together with playing football. You know, there's a certain level of fraternity that is football, whether you've played high school, college, arena, or pros. But when you get into this minor league football, you'd actually be really surprised of how close the guys are. There's actually a kind of a semi-private group on Facebook of all Ohio semi-pro football players in all the leagues, and it's a real good fraternity, and that's part of it. That was a big reason why I wanted those players on the team, because they understand what it takes to win. You know, they understand what it takes to go through, you know, hot August summers where you're in camp 12, 14 hours a day, or you know, some of these guys who have played, you know, I've played alongside with or against in, you know, a Division I arena, to where when you know, you wake up, you go to film, you go, you know, you go get breakfast, you go to class, you go to treatment, you go to class, you eat lunch, you go to practice, you watch film, you eat dinner, you go home, you do your homework, and you get up and you do it every single day, all the time. So those guys know how to put in the work necessary to be a football player at a high level. So that was a big reason why I wanted some of those guys, because you just – there are certain things that you just can't teach people about that brotherhood and the fraternity that football brings. There's nothing like strapping on your pads, and, you know, as a football player, you feel kind of like you feel invincible. You feel kind of like a warrior, and that's what you're doing, essentially. I mean, it's a controlled act of war, you know. I mean, I'm trying to beat the other person up, you know, ahead of me. I'm trying to put the ball in their territory. So, you know, in a very simple sense of it, that's kind of what football is. So that's why you want players who have really put in the time and the effort to know what it takes to get it there.
Jamie Adams is the GM of the Lorain County Nightmares. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You made an interesting analogy about being the GM before we jumped on the air, and I thought it was really kind of cool, talking about how, you know, when people ask you, what's it like being the GM? And, I mean, at this level, you're into a number of different things, whether it's scouting or whether it's marketing the team, and, of course, you play as well. But you mentioned, well, it's kind of like being the GM of one of those teams that you play for in Madden, right?
Yeah. It's,
I thought that was pretty funny how you put that together, but it makes sense.
It really does, just because a lot of it, you know, my generation will understand that because, you know, we grew up playing that video game. But on a very light, you know, fun part of it, it's exactly what it's like. I got to, you know, you get to pick out the, you know, what the uniform's like. You get to order them. You get to set up all the fundraisers that we do. You get to recruit the players. You get to, you know, pick what decals are on the helmet, what color the helmet's going to be painted. And, you know, you get to, you know, buy all the banners and do all this fun stuff to where, you know, when we go, that was a very, very surreal moment. So that was one of the questions you asked about the roster, and the roster's limit in the PAFL is 65 players. Well, we had at one point about 77 players. So we had a pretty decent inactive practice squad, and, you know, kind of like how the NFL does with camps, you know, they bring on more players and eventually some of those players are going to kind of trickle away, whether they get cut, they'd like to go play on another team because maybe they'd get some more, you know, time or action because maybe the guy ahead of them is just a little bit better, more experienced than them. So it is, it's kind of like Madden where, I get to put all this together. And I remember our first home game, there was a moment where I sat back a good 5 or 10 yards behind the whole team. And very few teams in the league hold 65 players. It's hard to get that many guys together. So to think that we had 77 guys and over half of them are college players is pretty impressive. So to sit back and it was, you know, to see banners here and 70 players in probably the most quality uniforms, again, along with the stadium, probably one of the nicest set of uniforms in the entire league. You know, I've got a concession stand that's run by Pizza Hut. You know, we're not selling hot dogs and hamburgers for a dollar with some Gatorades. You know, I've got Pizza Hut coming in and selling their own things to our fans, where you look back and instead of those, you know, 100 or 200 fans that are usually at a game, we've got, you know, the first game was pretty rainy, but the second game there had to be 400 or 500 people there. I mean, a great turnout. So to sit there and think, oh, you know, Pizza Hut's getting served, fans are having a good time, 50-50 raffles. You know, we got a DJ, music's playing. I've got 70 brothers with me. The other team's got 40 guys, you know, is a little surreal. So, yeah, it's kind of like I'm sitting there playing a video game, and I just, you know, I just won the Super Bowl in Madden. But like I said, that's more of a my generation thing to understand that. But, yeah, it is. It's very, very surreal and fun.
Absolutely. Well, and along those same lines, you know, I know you guys do a lot of things out in the community as well. So if folks are listening out there right now and they're interested in getting a hold of you to find out how they can see what you guys do with the community, and in addition to that, you know, to go out and maybe see what ticket prices are and head on down to Knowlton Stadium just to kind of take in an in-game experience, where can they go to find out more information about you guys?
So we have main place to find us is on Facebook. Social media is definitely king at this point in time. So you can just type in the Lorain County Nightmares. It's pretty easy to find. I think that was a big part of it. We started the season, end of last season, with about 2,900 followers or so on Facebook. We're pretty north, I think, approaching 6,500 at this point.
Nice.
So it's become a pretty good plug for it. Tickets are only $5 a game most of the time, and that was, again, a big part of it, not to preach on it, but that was a big thing that we wanted to do, what was above and beyond. And most times, if you go to an Akron Arrows game or Columbus Clippers game or a lot of these other minor league games, tickets are $7, $8, $10. Oh, that's all right. Well, how can I get more people in the stands? Why don't I just make it $5? And it's a much easier rounder number to come to, you know, and it worked. You know, you got a lot more people at the game. You got 400 or 500 guys rather than your 400 or 500 people rather than 100 or 200 people. So on Facebook's the biggest way to find us. There is lcnightmares.com is where you can look at us online. You can check the schedule. Roster will be up there soon. Rosters are locked in for the 2017 season, June 23rd. So after that, we'll have the full roster on there with pictures and everything. We had a media day at Oberlin College the last day of April, April 30th. And that was a good time. We had a, you know, a couple newspapers and stuff come out, and guys got to take group pictures and team pictures. So all that stuff's going to be uploaded onto the website. So Facebook, internet, the internet, Twitter, Instagram. We're pretty much covered all bases on the major bases of social medias. But next game's a Saturday in Columbus at 6 p.m. at Grove City Christian High School against the Columbus Fire. Columbus Fire and last year were AAA national champions, so that'll be a really good matchup for us.
Good deal. Well, Jamie, we appreciate you spending some time with us, coming in studio. You had to battle some traffic to get here, so yeah, we appreciate you fighting through all that traffic to get here. And it was a lot of fun to learn more about you guys and what you do, so we certainly appreciate you stopping in.
Awesome. Thank you. Go Nightmares.
All righty. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.